I do feel like there are probably a lot of dads who wouldn't do that, you know, who would just kind of be like, you're feeding him, so you're in charge of the nighttime wake-ups.
Yeah.
So to me, I interpret it as like, I think there is an element of like, you're deciding to do this because you want to help me.
I'm also gunning pretty hard for a number one dad t-shirt on Father's Day. So.
Well, you're on a good track.
Well, Maya.
Yeah.
What's on the agenda for this episode? Are we going to continue this farce where we pretend that having a child is a good idea?
I don't know if we ever, did we ever say that? I can't remember who we were 2 weeks ago or what we said about anything.
Yeah, neither can I.
Well, we're Maya and Eric. This is the end of the world as we know it. And I feel like now is the first time I truly understand the name of our podcast.
Yeah, I am very tired.
Yeah.
And the level of energy that I'm bringing right now is after drinking like 80 ounces of iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. Now all those memes from moms about how coffee can't fix you make sense.
Yeah. I don't feel fixed.
Well, let's see. So this is our episode about the first week. It's Friday. We brought our baby home 1 week ago.
Yeah.
Oh, and I guess normal disclosure that we're just talking about our own experience. May not match yours. You may not like it. That's okay. Just trying to share what this is really like, because we wish, frankly, someone had told us what it was really like.
Yeah. If this doesn't resonate with you, going back to my message from the first episode of this podcast, I will reiterate, don't let me know.
We don't care.
Don't care. But if it does resonate with you, I hope that it makes you feel validated in your feelings and, you know, you can reach out, say attaboy.
Yeah. I know. I can't tell if the audience for this one is like other people who've been through it or are going through it, or if this is our desperate attempt to warn other people so that they can make a really good decision.
Yeah.
Maybe we could start with generally, like, so energy levels, I would say, are pretty freaking low. But in terms of like happiness level.
Yeah.
Because I think I always imagined like, you're really tired when you have a baby, but you're so happy to have a baby that it's worth it.
Yeah.
Not quite sure I'm there yet. But like on a scale of 1 to 10, like how satisfied are you with your life right now? Like 1 being you wish you were dead.
Yeah.
And 10 being this is the best you've ever felt.
Yeah. Well, I don't wish I was dead. So definitely not a 1. It's definitely not the best I've ever felt. So yeah. It's definitely not a 10 either.
Yeah. You've just described how scales work.
Yeah.
Just pick a number. We get the whole episode. 3?
Yeah. Is that bad?
Is
that higher than you thought?
No, that's lower than I thought.
What did you think? 5?
Yeah. I feel around the middle somewhere right currently.
All right. I'll go 4.
Okay. I'll say like a 6 because I'm a pretty positive. No, I'm not a 6.
If 5 is totally neutral, I'm definitely below neutral.
Yeah.
But not like way below neutral.
Yeah.
I'm not crying in the bathroom today.
Have you been crying in the bathroom, Eric?
No.
Did you cry in the bathroom? I'm going to start crying.
No, I didn't.
Are you lying? Oh, no. Is this just going to be an hour of me crying?
No.
Okay.
It's okay.
We can talk about that later. You don't have to cry in the bathroom. Well, I have been crying.
Yeah.
In the bathroom, in the bedroom, in the living room, outside, in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I don't think I have postpartum depression fully.
Right.
But maybe. It's possible I'm in denial about that, but I definitely have what they call the baby blues.
Yeah.
Which is sort of a cute, fun way of saying I cry all the time and I'm not sure why. And sometimes my baby makes me sad.
Yeah. We're not talking about Frank Sinatra's smoldering gaze, you know, those are some baby blues that I can get on board with, but these significantly rougher.
Not so much. Yeah. I feel like I recognize that this happens to everybody and most people, and I recognize that it's hormonal, but I just didn't think that this would happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking back to when we recorded our last episode when we had just brought him home. And I feel like we were so proud of ourselves for surviving the childbirth. And it was kind of like, oh, like we'll figure everything else out, you know, like day by day, moment by moment.
Yeah. Which we are.
We are. Yeah. We're surviving and we're
thriving.
I guess, I would not say thriving.
You don't think we're thriving?
You think we're thriving?
I think we're on an upward trajectory.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So it depends on the day, honestly. Sometimes I feel like things are really, our dog found a squeaky toy. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like things are getting better. And sometimes I feel like, you know what? I will say so far, it's only been a week. I know there's going to be all kinds of horrible setbacks, but so far I don't feel like there's been any times where I'm like, this has gotten much worse than yesterday.
Yeah.
It's like staring down the abyss of like the, if it's the same every day, I'm not sure this is sustainable.
Yeah.
And that's what really bums me out.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to stay the same.
Yeah, I think it's
pretty much guaranteed not to stay the same.
Yeah.
So you can take comfort in that.
Yeah. I just have this, fear that he's been really a pretty good baby so far.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel very grateful. And I am constantly thinking about how much worse it could have been and dreading things getting worse as he gets older. But he's like, he wakes up several times during the night, but he mostly, you know, we get some sleep.
Yeah. He does seem like a pretty good sleeper, you know?
Yeah. And he seems like a happy baby. He's been eating well. He's been gaining weight like he's supposed to.
Yeah. It's hard to say if he's happy.
He seems like when he's just like hanging out and he's alert, he seems
looking around,
satisfied.
You know, we're definitely at the stage where he does not have like discernible feelings. You know, like he's still, he's just sitting there looking around. His brain is, you know, wiring up all those neural pathways.
Yeah.
Makes eye contact, which is kind of interesting.
Not sure.
Yeah, it's probably not really eye contact.
Yeah, he looks at us sometimes.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. He's sort of flailing his arms and legs around being like, what are these things?
Yeah. Pretty typical.
Yeah. Typical baby stuff.
But I think like, okay, so I've been, let me describe what our schedule is like.
Yeah.
And then this is going to be a hard to listen to episode because I can't even say a sentence. We did warn you we were going to get more tired.
Yeah.
So we wake up.
Yeah.
When the baby wakes up, which it has been around like 8 or 9 in the morning is basically when we're like getting out of bed.
Yeah.
Roughly. We feed
that makes it sound like we slept in.
Well, I haven't gotten to the night schedule
yet. Okay. Okay.
But we get out of bed at like 8-ish, I would say. I feed him. Breastfeeding is a whole thing we'll, I guess, talk about. I feed him. Sometimes he needs to poop before I feed him. Sometimes he needs to get changed afterwards. Sometimes both. Sometimes he poops while he's being changed. So there's several, lots of that.
That's been frequent.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
I think our max so far was 11 diaper changes in one day.
Yeah.
Which is less than one every 2 hours.
Really audible bowel movements.
Yeah. Which helps us know when he needs to be changed. It's a good cue.
Yeah. There's very little mystery.
Yeah.
You hear it from like a mile away.
Yeah. That's another way he's a good baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feed him. He's usually up for a few hours after he wakes up in the morning, takes a nap for a couple hours around lunchtime. Then he wakes up again. I don't know. That cycle continues. Sometimes after I feed him, he goes back to sleep. Sometimes he stays awake for a few hours. I don't know. That's how the day goes. And then we've been putting him down. He usually falls asleep, like his first kind of long rest at like 9, and then sleeps for like 3 hours, wakes us up every 3 hours. And for the most part, I feel like he goes right back to sleep after we feed him at night. But the past few nights he's been doing a thing where he's like right in the middle of like when his 3 a.m. wake up is usually when he's awake for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Which is.
That's rough.
Yeah. And I feel like before I had a baby, when people talk to me about how tired they were having a baby, and I think I even said this on the podcast, it's to me at the time, it was like, oh, it's like when you have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go catch a flight.
Yeah.
That was the most I could understand.
Yeah.
The concept of being awake.
It's not like that.
It's not like that at all.
It's like if you had to catch 5 flights a night every night for your entire life.
And if you didn't, your son would die.
Yeah.
So.
So it's different than that one time you had to get up early so you could go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know?
Slightly different.
Yeah.
And slightly different reward system.
Yeah. There's no reward this time.
Yeah.
And,
I was talking to my best friend yesterday, or 2 days ago. She had a baby like 4 months ago, and I was apologizing to her because I was saying, I'm really sorry. I really didn't, like when she was telling me what it was like having a newborn, I was kind of like, you got this. You're doing great. He's going to start sleeping at, you know, whatever, like all the typical stuff that people say who haven't had a baby before.
Yeah.
And when I was talking to her the other day and I was like, I'm really sorry. I feel like I'm starting to understand like how horrible and miserable this was for you. She was like, yeah, I've just been kind of waiting for you to catch up.
Yeah. I have friends who are at various stages of, you know, thinking about having children.
Or who have children.
But if I were to speak to the ones who are thinking of having children,
yeah,
I would never tell them not to.
Right.
But what I would tell them is that whatever you are picturing,
it's not that.
It is not that.
Yeah.
Whatever gratifying, manageable situation.
Yeah. The thing where you're picturing just like reading to a cute baby, feel like it takes a while to get there.
Yeah.
Although you did read him his first book the other day.
I did read about Katie the Snowplow.
Yeah, Katie and the Big Snow.
Yeah, that was nice. Nice father-son moment.
Generally, yeah, not like that.
Yeah.
So what would you tell someone considering having a kid that it is like? Because I'm really having a hard time putting words to it. And I feel like this is the problem. It's like when you're a teenager and people are trying to warn you to like enjoy being young while you can. You know, it's like there's nothing anyone can tell you that makes sense.
Totally.
How can we put this into words as someone who doesn't yet have a kid?
So the two things that I said to you yesterday that I think, you know.
I just think it's funny that every three words you have to stop for like a big sigh.
I'll try to bring up the energy. So yesterday we were talking, we had a little bit of like a State of the Union conversation, I think.
Yeah. Which I would recommend.
Oh yeah.
Helps to talk things out.
Yeah. And it definitely is connected to what I'm about to say. Two things. The first is that like, I can't imagine going through this with someone who I am not in like the most rock solid, dependable relationship with.
Yeah.
Because if we had any kind of static in our relationship, I have to imagine that it would be pretty, pretty amplified right now. If there were any misgivings between us, if there was like any kind of grievance that you maybe had stuck in your craw, but managed to keep a lid on.
Yeah.
I have to imagine that the state that we are in right now would
be worse.
Bring those to the fore.
Yeah.
If
that was the case, do you think that you would like just leave us, or do you think you'd just be mad all the time, or you wouldn't be helpful, or?
Yeah, I think I'd be mad all the time.
Yeah.
I think that I would. So like when I was growing up, I won't name any names, Dad, but but other fathers that I was exposed to as a child, I never understood the level of misery that they were communicating in every single action, every moment of every day.
Yeah.
I was just like, how can you be so angry and resentful? And like I can picture certain friends' dads, and in some instances, my own dad, where they radiated this pure hatred and disgust toward everyone and everything at all times.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, hey, you're just having a good time pretty much. Right. So like you look at somebody who's in that mode and you're like, how does that happen? Right. And I think that, I think that I'm beginning to understand how one could go down that road if.
Yeah. I don't think you have to.
I don't think you have to either.
We know lots of people who enjoy having kids and who still seem like humans.
Right. And I'm willing to bet that those people who have those kids and, you know, who seem like humans and everything, they probably had when, you know, their family is built on a pretty solid foundational relationship, you know? But I think, like I said, not to just keep repeating myself, but I think if you had any issues, that shit's going to get magnified pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So I guess the point is that we talked about it yesterday and I was trying to express to you that I was very grateful for the state of our relationship and the fact that like, we're doing this really difficult thing that is, you know, positive in the long run.
Yeah.
Probably. Ask me when I'm bailing our kid out of jail someday. But, you know, we are able to go through this really difficult thing and still kind of like step aside and like laugh about it and lean on each other and tell each other how much we appreciate each other through the experience. And that's been really helpful for me. I took the dog's toy away and now he has climbed inside his giant bag of toys. To find another one.
I think it's fine. This is a first time parenting podcast.
Yeah.
There's going to be some background noise.
Yeah. But yeah, the point is like, I have realized like how grateful I am for the, amount of work that you and I have done to have like a really open and supportive relationship.
Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about that too. Like, I know I was in a really big hurry to have a kid, and we were together for more than 10 years before we did. And I cannot imagine how much worse this would have been if we had had a kid, like even because we started trying right after our wedding.
Yeah.
There's so many things that we wouldn't have worked out or that we wouldn't have been able to do.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're kind of old for first time parents, but I'm pretty grateful that we got to do everything and figure out everything beforehand.
Yeah. And that's not to say that you need to be together for 10 years to have a kid.
Yeah, but it helps. I mean, I definitely feel like I feel very strongly that people in their 20s who are actively trying to have kids are insane.
Yeah. Again, this is our take.
Just my opinion. Just do what you're going to do, whatever. But maybe you have more energy when you're in your 20s, so it's not as bad.
Yeah. I think we both did a lot of living in our 20s.
Yeah.
Right. And not to be too dramatic about this, but like, so here's something that I think like has been a little bit different for the two of us in this whole experience. Like I'm grateful that we decided to do this when we did, because I knew that it was going to be this like all consuming venture, right? Like it's not going to be something that you kind of do for a little bit of time each day. It is your day. It is everything.
I think I did not totally understand that.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. I don't know if that's like if that's just sort of a mystery of biology or something like
me. Right. Like that's part of the reason why men put it off for so long.
Well, I think that like maybe since you're the one carrying the child, maybe you have this like these hormones that like, you know, like maybe your brain chemistry makes you look forward to it in a way that like,
yeah, I think so.
Your partner, me, who is not carrying the child,
right,
does not. Right. So
that's a really good sentence.
Yeah. Thanks. So I personally, for the past say 9 or so months, I've been walking the green mile thinking about how,
I know, I understand now why you were so desperate to get all that furniture finished.
I'm not joking. I have been feeling like, oh, my life is coming to an end.
Yeah.
At a very specific point. I see it coming. I know I keep referencing this movie, but I'm Ed Norton in the 25th hour, right? Like,
I haven't seen it.
It's about a guy who has been sentenced to prison and he has to report to prison the next morning for like a really long sentence. And so he spends his last day free, like visiting his friends and sort of,
I don't think I can watch that right now.
Reckoning with, you know, what got him there and whatever.
I'm going to start crying. Don't talk to me about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so for the past like 9 or so months, like while you have been kind of like riding this blissful,
not blissful.
Well, maybe that's the wrong word. Maybe
blissfully
like
ignorant,
blissfully
maybe.
Ignorant yeah. of certain realities.
Yeah.
I have been staring down the barrel of that reality.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like I've had to face that in the past week. Like that's really been my reckoning.
Yeah. So when the baby was born, I feel like I got to the end of the green mile and I was like, all right, strap me in, boys. And I sat down in the electric chair and I was like, okay, I had a good run. And you were like surprised to be there.
Yeah.
You were like, wait, it's going to be like this.
Yeah.
This is what having a baby is like, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think the whole time I was pregnant, I was so focused on him surviving. Like that was all I really thought about.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot remember what I thought it would be like to have a baby, but all of this has been a weird shock to me. Like all the stuff you have to do for him, how often you have to do it, what it's like to look at him, what he does when he's awake, how you feel when people say anything to you about it.
And it's not to say that any of those things are bad necessarily, but they probably don't line up with your preconceived notions.
Yeah. And I really, maybe this is obvious, but I really think it's problematic that like my understanding of parenthood came from like people's Instagram photos. And I've posted a couple too, where it's like, he is a cute, happy baby. But like, I haven't posted like that I'm crying all the time or that how tired we are, or that sometimes like I don't want to hold him and I feel really upset when I have to hold him for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but like, I just don't think people share that stuff. And I've been trying to share it with my friends one-on-one, like friends who've had babies recently, and that's been really helpful.
Yeah.
But I'm also kind of like, how did they not tell me this stuff? Or maybe they did and I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It really is one of those things that you go through in your life and you're suddenly cursed with knowledge that you didn't have before.
Yeah.
And it, you know, we're doing a podcast and everything, but we can't really communicate what it feels like or what it will be like.
Yeah. I think right now, at least for me, I feel like I'm in almost like a grieving phase, you know, like grieving everything that we had before and whatever. I assume that at some point this will not feel that way, where it will feel like he has added something to our lives and like,
instead of taking everything away.
Yeah. Like, I think, you know, one of my friends told me that she didn't really have like mom feelings towards her kid for like 3 weeks. And then once she did, everything got easier because it's like, I think we were talking about this the other day. Like I need to get to the point where he feels like just a part of our family.
Yeah.
Like I feel about you or our dogs, you know, it's like, I'm happy to take care of all of you and spend all my time with you because you're my family and I like you. And I just, does that sound really dark? I'm not saying I don't like him. I just, he's just this, he's really cute. Sometimes I love looking at him and playing with him, but he's just this little like lump that cries all the time and hurts my boobs all the time. And you know, it's not exactly a symbiotic relationship yet.
Yeah.
Is that the right word? Where we both get something out of it?
Yeah, I guess symbiotic is the right
word. Now it's parasitic, I would say. Anyway.
Yeah. So to circle back on the other thing that I was going to say that we talked about yesterday is, and this is for, you know, anyone who's listening who might be thinking about having kids and maybe be operating under the delusion that you know what it's going to be like or can anticipate what it's going to be like. I, up until a week ago when we had this kid.
Week and a half. I'm trying to reward myself for all the time that we've.
Every single thing I have ever done in my entire life has been the result of a calculation that involved like my own self-interest.
Yeah.
No matter what it was, everything I like, it's like I suddenly have been able to like reframe the way I see my entire life. Even things that I didn't want to do, or I told myself I didn't want to do, if I decided to do them.
Yeah.
There was never up until now something that I couldn't just be like, nah, fuck all that. I'm just going to do something else.
Yeah.
I you know, you make these calculations where like, you know, maybe you'll do some task that you don't really want to do because like there is some kind of like maybe very clear or maybe very vague reward system involved, right? Like you don't want to disappoint someone else or you don't want to, or you want someone to be happy with you or you do a thing because it feels good or, you know,
but you're still making the decision.
Yes. I'm waking up like every hour or 2 hours
at night. It's at every night. 3 hours.
But like when we go to sleep, it's pretty consistent that we're going to wake up in like about an hour, hour and a half, but just doing it's a lot. And you know, like when you're thinking forward to this, you're like, oh, how would I react in those situations? And like, you know, you specifically did what any normal person would be like. You'd say like, oh, well, there was that time I had to get up at 3:30 a.m. to catch a flight. Yeah. I managed that. I was unflappable. But that's because like you woke up for a thing that you personally deemed important.
It was also one night of bad sleep.
Yeah. And now like I am not resentful of it. I just wake up and I feel like emotionally dead. I have no feelings about it because I just have to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not deciding whether I want to get up or not. I have to get up. I have to change his diaper because it needs to be changed and he's depending on me to do it. We get him, you know, latched onto you to feed because that's what needs to happen. And I lay there awake while he's awake or sometimes I fall asleep and leave you awake. But like, all of these things I'm doing are not, they exist outside the framework of how I've ever thought about any action I've ever taken in my entire life before.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Isn't that crazy?
It is really crazy. I mean, I still think that there's an element of like, if you were a single dad, like if it was just you and him,
yeah,
I think that would be the most extreme version of this scenario.
Yeah.
I still do think that you're making the, like, you don't have to do, you've been doing most of the diaper changes. You've been like getting up with me every time he gets up to eat. And we kind of, to some extent we have to do this because it's hard for me to like get up and down with him because of the C-section recovery. But I do feel like there are probably a lot of dads who wouldn't do that, you know, who would just kind of be like, you're feeding him. So you're in charge of the nighttime wake ups.
Yeah.
So to me, I interpret it as like, I think there is an element of like, you're deciding to do this because you want to help me.
I'm also gunning pretty hard for a number one dad t-shirt on Father's Day. So.
Well, you're on a good track.
No, I mean, to me, it doesn't feel like a choice.
Yeah.
It just feels like this is literally who I am and what I do now.
For now.
Yeah. And
that's
I know that
I
that will change.
Myself, yeah.
But like this really hard period that we're going through right now, you know, maybe I just have very strong morals. I don't know. But like, it doesn't feel like I feel like a robot. I feel like I'm inhabiting my body and I'm just watching myself wake up and do these things because that's just what has to happen.
Yeah.
Sure. I'd rather be sleeping, but that's not something that can ever happen again.
No, just for now. Just for now.
I know. I'm joking.
I've been glued to my phone in general. Cause I'm sort of just like, I'm recovering. So I'm like laying down all the time or reclining in my Lazy Boy, which highly recommended, if you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Just get a Lazy
Boy. Don't sleep on that Lazy Boy.
Or sleep on it.
Don't sleep on getting it.
Yeah. But I just like, I'm sort of like immobile a lot of the time. I'm alone a lot of the time, like just sitting with the baby, like feeding him or waiting to feed him or whatever. And so I've been talking to my friends, but I've also been hanging out on some of the like new parent subreddits. And that is making me feel weird, but like mostly better, partially because there's so many examples of people going through the exact same thing. Like, you know, I'll come across someone who's like, my baby is 9 days old and breastfeeding is really hard and whatever. And like, just knowing that there's someone else out there who's like in the same phase that I'm in really helps.
Yeah.
But the other thing is like, there's so many posts from moms who are like, I only got to take work off for 2 weeks and now I have to go back. Or
I can't even imagine.
I know. Or like, my husband is being a piece of shit and like telling me that I'm doing this wrong or refusing to help me. Or like, he works all day, so I've been trying not to bother him with baby stuff.
I can't even imagine what it would be like for you to have a husband who's a piece of shit, because I am so awesome.
You really are. I do feel like one nice thing that's come out of this is like, I appreciate you so much more, no offense, than I ever have in our 10-year relationship. I'm just like, I didn't know how you were going to be as a dad. And I think that you frankly could have gone either way. And I think that
yikes.
I just think you are going so above and beyond. And we've mentioned my mom is here staying with us and helping, which also super privileged to have a third person in the house who is a grandma who likes this kid and wants to hang out with him. We're very lucky in that way as well. But, my mom keeps saying to me like how impressed she is with you and how proud she is of how we're like interacting with each other. And, I do think that's been a really nice thing that's come out of this is like, I feel like it's making our marriage stronger, even though it's really hard.
Yeah.
I certainly feel attached and reliant on you in a way that I never have in our relationship,
that's nice.
Is that nice? That's one of the things that keeps making me cry is I keep thinking about if Eric decides to leave or gets killed or something, I can't do that.
Yeah. Well, I believe you can. You're strong.
No,
you know, if I'm like riding my motorcycle and I get clotheslined by a wire that I don't see or something and get my head lopped off, you'll do all right.
No.
But, yeah, you know, on one hand, it appears virtuous the way I'm behaving, but in reality, I think suffering is just in my DNA.
I think it's a little of both. Let's talk about breastfeeding, huh?
Okay. Speaking of suffering.
Speaking of latching.
So you're enjoying it?
It has gotten easier, I will say. Okay. Here's the thing about breastfeeding. Apparently it sucks for everyone. Like I have yet to talk to a single person who's like, yeah, he just latched right on at the beginning and everything was fine. You know, it's like everyone either has nipple pain, which again, seems like something you can deal with, but is really, really brutal when it's happening.
Yeah.
Trouble latching, trouble pumping, not wanting to pump, having to use formula, wanting to use formula, but feeling ashamed to switch to formula or like it's the wrong thing for your baby. Like the list is just endless.
Yeah.
I still have yet to wrap my head around half of these things, but I feel like, you know, when we were in the hospital, we got to work with these lactation consultants, by the way, the parenting subreddits hate the lactation consultants. They're like the super villains of this whole situation.
Oh, damn.
The ones that we saw were both super nice, but they were pretty one-sided.
Yeah.
About the whole thing. And I don't know, like the whole time we were pregnant and like after we gave birth and whatever, when everybody was asking how we're going to feed him, I was like, oh, breastfeeding. Like I just assumed that's what we would do. So that's what we're doing. So the first few days of breastfeeding, or for us, I guess it was like 4 days, you don't have milk. You have this thing called colostrum.
Yeah.
And what I didn't understand is that it's actually different. And it turns out when you're first breastfeeding, so you're like, you're figuring out the latch. And then when you only have colostrum, there's not a whole lot that's coming out. And so for them to be like satiated, they have to try a lot harder and they have to be latched for a much longer period of time.
Yeah.
So he was breastfeeding, like when we were in the hospital, when we first brought him home, it was like 45 minutes every time, super painful. And I think during that period, I really didn't think I'd be able to make it with breastfeeding. And I think, I don't know, I feel like what's hard to explain about this is like, there's so much physical pain, but also like emotional torture. And I was Googling all this stuff around benefits of breastfeeding versus formula. How long are you expected to breastfeed before you switch to formula or to food or whatever?
Yeah.
And there's no right answer. It's all just sort of like, well, whatever works for you and your baby. But I didn't even understand the options. So I just kind of kept going. And what everyone kept telling me is like, it gets easier. And so I just kept waiting for it to get easier. It did get a little bit easier when my milk came in. Yeah, I think it was like 4 days after he was born or something. That got easier because he was eating for less per feeding, and it got a lot less painful, I think, because like even if he doesn't have a perfect latch, he's able to get milk out of there. What are you looking at?
Just the dogs are acting weird.
But I think when I was preparing to breastfeed, you know, like I read a lot and watched videos about latching, and I get the science of what you do with the latch. But when you have a baby who's crying and you're not even sure whether he's hungry or not, like you're just kind of trying feeding as an attempt to get him to stop crying, the last thing you're thinking about is how to get the latch right. And that like psychological part of it makes it so much more complicated.
Yeah. I mean, and you're also like navigating a physical sensation that you have never experienced before.
Yeah.
So like, you don't even know if you're doing it right. Probably.
Yeah. Like it didn't feel natural in any way.
Yeah.
Ooh, the only thing that helped with my nipple pain, I was putting all kinds of different like nipple creams and stuff on it. Mm-hmm. Putting milk, like breast milk on my nipples seems to be the thing that healed them, which is crazy. Huh. But it really seems like that helped.
Weird.
That and time. Like I think just getting tougher has helped also, but like, I feel like same day, like when I started doing that, they started healing.
Wow.
So hot tip.
Yeah.
Breast milk.
Yeah.
But yeah, breastfeeding really sucks. I'm doing it a lot. It's still kind of like when he latches on, it hurts for like 30 seconds, maybe a minute, but then it's fine for the rest of it. So I feel like it's gotten better, but I still feel like I'm kind of, trapped in breastfeeding and not really seeing a way out of it.
Right.
And just worrying a lot about like, I don't know how I'm ever going to be able to leave my house, how I'm going to be able to go back to work or get a nanny or whatever, you know, whatever we're going to do for childcare. I'm just feeling very, and I know it's only been a week, so I keep trying to remind myself that these answers will come to us, but that's definitely been a big theme of what's been overwhelming over the past week.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, we are navigating this massive change in our lifestyles, and in the same way that you couldn't really anticipate what the sensation of breastfeeding would be like, or waking up in the middle of the night multiple times a night for this purpose, like in the way that you couldn't anticipate those, you can't anticipate the solution to, or not solution, but you can't like anticipate the next mode, the next phase of this whole thing.
I just wish, like, it seems like logistically I should be able to have a plan of like, okay, I'm going to breastfeed only for this amount of time. I'm going to start pumping at this point. And I just like, I wish that there was like a guide, you know?
Yeah.
But, and I understand there can't be because every baby is so different. And I think that's the other thing that like is hard to understand until you do it of like, I can't think of anything else in my life where I haven't been able to like plan at all or like research and then decide what I want to do based on, there's just like no answers. And that's the other thing with all those subreddits. It's just like a lot of people being like, hey man, I'm right there with you. I have empathy for you, but I don't have an answer. And you know, everyone's sort of like, this worked for us, but, or it worked for one of our kids, but not the other one. Or
yeah, it's hard out here, man.
It's hard out here, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I would really, if anyone is listening to this and has had kids, I would really love to hear other people's stories of just like how long you breastfed for, if you supplemented with formula or switched to formula, how you went back to work at any point. I'm just having a really hard time like wrapping my head around all that.
Yeah. So let us know. Hit us up.
Help.
help us.
Is there anything else going on?
No, there's not a lot of time for extracurriculars and other things. So
yeah, that's the other thing is like the days, they sure drag on, but they also go by really quickly. Like we keep having these big dreams of like,
we're going to watch a movie.
Yeah.
Which we did successfully the other day.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. It was just a little island of
normalcy
in this sea of chaos that we've been bobbing around in.
I've just been trying really hard. It's basically that whole like sleep when the baby sleeps has been like how at least I'm like doing my day of like if I am tired when he goes to sleep, I just lay down or if I'm not tired, that's when I try and like read a book or call a friend or we try and do something together or I try and clean up a little bit because our house is disgusting.
Yeah. Well, what if we try to like... we're probably cruising up on the end of this episode here. What if we try to end on a positive note?
Yeah.
And what are some things that you feel like have worked?
Ooh.
Like what are some like things like an example of that would be the movie.
Yeah. Like that was really nice.
Like we kind of like had to work hard to make that happen. Like we talked about it kind of all day. Yeah. we're gonna watch a movie later. Yeah. We're gonna watch a movie later.
We had to start it super early.
Yeah.
We
had to be open to pausing it.
We paused
a bunch
it
of
several times. We let the baby like sit with us. I fed him at some point during the movie.
And it was nice because we sort of brought the baby into like something we were doing as opposed to just sort of standing around being like, what does the baby need? What does the baby need?
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really positive step for us.
Yeah. People have been sending us really thoughtful gifts. We actually just paused recording because a guy came and knocked on the door and it was a freaking box of Russ and Daughters bagels and lox.
Yeah.
And I just cried because I'm so excited to eat good lox.
Yeah. So that's going to be great. I think one little thing that we've been doing every day is just getting outside.
Yeah. Even just taking like a 10-minute walk outside every day. And we've been taking the baby with us in his little stroller.
Yeah.
That feels like a nice family thing.
And just getting some sunshine and getting outside and fresh air and everything. It really kind of like gives you a little bit of a reset.
Yeah.
I think, you know,
that's been really good.
Yeah.
I think like waking up together at night, even though it sucks, like I am so much less miserable than I would be if I was doing that alone.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're able to like, you know, joke around or like have fun while we're waiting for him to go back to sleep. Not a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But just like a tiny bit of fun.
Yeah. We're able to keep a sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
Which would probably be pretty difficult if you were just laying there listening to me snore.
Have much of a sense of humor. I think like noticing when the baby is being cute or funny, like those are really positive moments when they happen. We've been taking a lot of pictures of him. He makes a lot of funny faces.
Yeah.
We like make fun of him a lot. One of our dogs sleeps with us in bed every night. And like, that always makes me happy. Just like getting to have some time with him.
Yeah. And I took a nap with our other dog yesterday, which was nice.
I've been watching Temptation Island. New one. That's really been doing it for me.
Yeah.
Everybody told me that I would like, you know, it's like you hear from new moms that you're like, you're up all night feeding. So like, that's a good time to like watch a show or whatever. I have had zero motivation in the middle of the night to like get up and put a TV show on. But Temptation Island during the day has been like a nice distraction.
Yeah.
Oh, I will say one really, really, really good purchase is we rented a Snoo, which is the bassinet that like moves and has white noise. And if he starts to cry, it like attempts to rock him back to sleep and like the noise gets a little louder. That has been awesome at night. Like I feel like last night there were like maybe two times where he started crying and then the Snoo just put him back to sleep. So.
It has seemed very effective so far.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of it.
Oh, I think the one other thing we should mention that felt like a big win is we did leave the house with him once. We went to a pediatrician appointment one day.
Yeah.
He was great. He ate right before we left. He slept in the car on the way there and back. Yeah. We even were able to go like next door and pick up some food. And that felt like a really big win.
Definitely. But yeah, you know, you gotta like, you gotta count those little wins.
Yeah.
Or else it can really... feel.
Oh, that's the other thing. I've been keeping a little like note in my phone where every day I'm just writing down like things that make me happy and like advice or learnings or whatever that I feel like are good to remember. Having a place to like officially acknowledge those things has been really helpful to me.
These are all good things.
So yeah, we made it through a week of being home.
Yeah.
We're still focusing on one day and one night and one moment at a time.
Yeah. I think if there's any one last piece of advice I would give to like, you know, kind of keep things positive, like for me specifically, someone who I am personally very selfish with my time and I set a lot of kind of insane goals, I would say, for productivity. I've let those go
for now,
for the most part. And I've also let myself off the hook for like in the past, I've always sort of like kind of thought about the day ahead. And I'm like, there's a thing that I want to do. But the way I'm thinking about it is like, there's a thing that I want to do, which means it's going to get done today. And I will cram as much stuff into my day as I can to like make sure those things that I have on deck get done that day. But I've let go of that. And now I just have like things that I want to do. And like, maybe it doesn't happen today. It'll happen tomorrow. Yeah. Or maybe it'll get partially done today and then partially done tomorrow. Like I've had to actively force myself to loosen up on stuff like that. And that has made things way less frustrating for me.
Yeah. I also think related to that, the lesson we had to learn like pretty quickly was letting go of the day and night thing. For the first few days we were really tired because we were thinking of like nighttime as the time to sleep and then daytime as the time to do stuff. And now it's like, if we're tired, we sleep no matter what time it is. If the baby needs something, we're awake no matter what time it is. It doesn't leave a lot of free time.
For sure.
But yeah, it's like trying to get one thing done a day feels doable.
Yeah.
Long term, I think we will be very glad that we did this.
Yeah.
It's just pretty hard right now. Yep. I think my mom wanted to share some grandma wisdom on the podcast.
She can take my seat.
Okay.
Okay.
What are your thoughts, grandma?
Well, my thoughts are always about my baby.
Aww. My mom's just going to try and make me cry on the podcast.
I don't have to do much to make you cry. I can just say, you're my baby, and that'll do it. I have a bunch of sort of random thoughts. I think one is essentially what you do with REM sleep, right? Is that if you get enough sleep, that your brain is sort of reorganizing and making sense of what happens to you. And so I feel like anytime people are sleep deprived, they're not getting that experience of sort of having their things turned into meaningful, understandable experiences.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The other thing that I think is really hard to describe to people is that, you know, in modern life, nothing is this physical.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, to me, this is a huge physical trauma, right? So you had abdominal surgery.
Yeah.
And there is a thing like almost anybody who goes into the hospital and has some kind of procedure, the emotions that come after that are often just based on your body, not your mind, but your body literally saying, hey, you went through something.
Yeah.
And we're in shock, right? And so I think part of the healing is the physical healing. And I think what we're used to is sort of having a plan and thinking about stuff. And that essentially what's happening to you is that your body is telling you that something is happening to you that's not about thinking.
Yeah.
Right? So I think the hardest thing for me was exactly what you were describing, was this kind of acceptance of right now, this is the experience we're having.
Yeah.
And I also feel like it's really nice if you're able to have the perspective that a lot of the feelings or the chemical feelings that you're having, I think in some ways they're designed to make it easier for you to have this kind of identity shift. Because this isn't about having something. This is about being something.
Right.
So you're shifting into being something else. And with every change in identity, you give up something.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just an additive process.
I think that is so true. Wisdom.
Just a thought from the other side of the other side of the experience. And I will say for the record, he is the most beautiful baby in the world. He is incredibly well behaved. I don't know any 1 week old kids who are this calm. So good job.
Thank you. And I'm crying. Okay. All right, Eric, anything else you want to add?
No.
Okay. All right. That's our first week episode. I have no idea when the next episode will be. We will see what happens. I think everybody who's doing this or has done this is very, very brave.
Insane.
Crazy and brave.
Yeah.
And strong.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. But we're doing okay. If this sounded very dark, don't worry. We will be fine.
Yeah.
That's what everyone keeps telling us.
We're going to eat bagels after this.
Yep.
Everything will be okay.
Yep. Thanks for listening. If you have any thoughts or questions, you can send in a voice message. The link is in the show notes, or you can send us an email. Everything's going to be okay.
Yes, I agree.